Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
All right. Who's been playing Christmas carols around the house? Anyone? All three of us. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I was actually delayed by just over a day because of a snowstorm that hit Philadelphia, so I got to have almost like the White Christmas experience, which was different. And I was loving the novelty factor of it all, but the locals were not that impressed with the snow that was that got hit. So it was quite an experience. Who's had a White Christmas? Who's actually had like the real White Christmas? Yeah, it's kind of beautiful. Yeah. There we go. It's got nothing to do with what I want to say. But this morning, I'm going to put you to the test. We're going to have a bit of a test. Everybody say test. All right. Who can remember what passage of scripture we used for our launch service at the beginning of 2013? Was it about prayer? Prayer? Bum bum. Let's go to the Smith family. No. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. God and Jesus. Wow. You got me. You've got me, Tracy. Thank you. Thank you. No, I actually referred to Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Don't turn your Bibles. I'll read it out just to remind you. No, you didn't. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, unfortunate name, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark and do not go near it." And Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." That's how we started 2013. And I just want to refer quickly to it in wrapping up 2013. Because the points that we drew out of that is that we're trusting that God heading into a new year was going to show us the way in which we were to go, because we've never been this way before. And I think we can apply that passage to every year that we come to, that we've never been into 2014 before. I don't know whether you're even thinking about that yet. I'm not sure whether you're kind of just so overwhelmed with what happened in 2013. Some of you can't wait for 2013 to be over and you just want to get a fresh start in 2014. Some of you just like, we're just going, "I just had a great year. In fact, I hope I have another 2013. And more power to you if you had one of those years. But what we're saying here is that then you will follow and you will know which way to go, since that you've never been this way before. And I just really want to give God honor and glory and thanks that he really did direct us this year. And when it says that you are to follow it, what is it? It's the presence of God that was housed in the Ark of the Covenant that went before the people, and God would direct and lead the people where they were to go through the Ark of the Covenant, the direction in which. And so the people would follow the presence of God. And today it's no different, that we have been given the Holy Spirit, who is to guide and to lead us in the way in which we are to go. And so we're to be followers of God's presence. And we see here that they weren't to go near it. They were to have that awe, respect, that holy fear of God's presence, which today we're still called to have that. But there's a different dynamic with the presence of God. The presence of God is no longer just with the people. But the presence of God, now we're told, is not just upon, but is within us, that we are carriers of the presence of God. So this direction and protection and power that the children of Israel were to follow is now resident within us, which is a phenomenal thought if you think about that for just a second. The creative power of the universe residing within us. So it's not some kind of New Age philosophy, "I have the power within me. I've got the power." It's got nothing to do with that. It's because God's power resides within me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's got nothing to do with the size of Phil Brake's biceps or how strong I am or anything like that. It's got everything to do with God's power and presence in my life. And so this year we've seen that in a number of different areas in the life of our church. I just thank God for some of the things that have happened this year. And there are still those things in my life, as there may be in your life, where you just go, why? Why did it happen like that? Hang on a sec. That I didn't plan it to be like that. I wasn't counting on it to be like that, but it just happened to be like that. And if you're here next week, hopefully we can just explore that just a little bit from the Christmas story of some of those whys and God answering those whys. But for me, I just really, again, just want to thank God that I really felt in many ways we were really led by God in the stuff that's happening in Malawi, in the stuff that's happening with Compass Community Care and the impact that we've just started to scratch the surface of in relationships and serving and helping people out in this community, this school, other families within this community, the amount of meals that we're able to provide, you know, to run and facilitate. The team did such an awesome job facilitating our first parent night, which was really well attended, and the feedback was just tremendous. It was just a great night. In terms of, like, you know, life group structures and running our pathway of discipleship. And I just love the fact of just watching you guys and seeing the transformational process happen in your life of God becoming more real and just watching what God does in your lives and seeing that unfold. And I want to encourage you this morning. It came out in our prayer meeting that he who has begun a good work will bring it to completion. And so no matter where you find yourself, you are not the finished product. And I'm glad about that for my life, because there's lots of areas that need fine-tuning and honing and that can be improved. And for some of you that, like, you know, you've just started to sense and experience God's transformational power in your life, it's just the beginning of what can be a great, not necessarily easy, but a great life to live. And so we're excited about that, that God has begun so many good works in individuals, but also for us as a church. And so I just really wanted to give God praise because, you know, we started the year off with that passage of scripture, just wanting to be reliant, dependent upon God leading and directing us because we'd never been this way before. And so, like, I'm just really wanting to honor God in that. And so this morning, as we've just honored the kids workers and the grommets workers, I'm just going to go through a couple of different departments and just really want to thank you this morning. And so if you've been involved in the setup or pack-up team, can you just stand up for me, please? If you've been involved in any level of that. Yeah. Thank you, guys. You may be seated. If you've been involved in our worship team in any way, shape, or form, music, singing, whatnot, can you please stand up? Please stand up. Yeah. Thank you. You may be seated. I really think it's worth honouring and appreciating people and the amount of effort that these guys put in each week so that we can come and enjoy the kind of worship and music that we do is such a blessing. If you've been involved in a host team, the people that, you know, greet you at the door or serving coffee, you know, doing the catering for morning teas and things like that so that we can have a great hangout time afterwards, and the people that facilitate, you know, offering things being passed around and the communion trays being passed around, any form of hosting or any of that, could you stand up, please? Bravo. Thank you. Thank you very much. If you've been involved in the computer or the sound or lighting, can you please stand up? Look back that way. Bravo. Thank you. And there are others, obviously, that are not here this morning that have been involved in these various departments. If you've been involved in any of the administration, which includes putting together any of our artwork and advertising stuff and just admin, getting things organised, going into the office, helping Jemima out with stuff at various times throughout the year, whether that's schools tour stuff, could you please stand up? Jemima. Stand up. Jemima. Yes, Amy. Thank you. Thank you. I love those people because I'm so not good at that stuff. You guys are just awesome. Josh and Ev, just wanted to honour them this morning because you know, they do such a great job. We've mentioned the kids and grommets. Can I ask the Compass Care team to stand up? And that's both those that have provided meals, transport, helping people move and helping gardens. And with the parent night, the Compass Care team, could you guys please stand up? Great. Well done. All right. Joan Rowntree, I think you've already stood up about four times. But you're going to have to stand up again because I'm going to get those that are involved in pastoral care and life groups. Could you guys please stand up? Please stand up. What a family we have. What a great bunch of people. And to all you guys that stood, and if I have forgotten a group of people that have in some way served at Compass Church, I apologise for that. But this morning, I just wanted to take some time out. Next week's going to be a full service and just jam-packed. And I just really wanted to take the time this morning to thank you and to honour you and for the rest of the church community just to see just what a great number of volunteers that we have and people that make such a great difference in the life of this church. So thank you. You know, for me, looking at 2014, if I may, for the next 10 minutes, I guess the reality of having any kind of community, unless people are committed to, to the vision of what's happening, unless people are committed to what we're trying to do, it just isn't going to happen. A leader is only as good as the team he or she has around him or her. And we have an amazing team, and those teams are then only as strong and effective as the teams that they then can develop around them, which requires volunteers. And so this morning, I really wanted to honour those people that volunteer and those that have put so much time and effort in. But for those of you that maybe have only recently started to attend or thinking about attending Compass, we really see Compass Church as a family. And I believe that in every family context, when it's every family's dysfunctional to some degree, that's for sure. And as is this church to some degree, and there's lots of things we could do better. But one of the things that we really want to nurture and continue to work on is our sense of family and looking out for one another and all of us actually taking our part and taking a level of responsibility in the area of giftedness that we have. And so we want to see round pegs in round holes so that people can actually do the things that they're good at, passionate about, have been gifted to do. And so I guess unless we're all committed firstly to God and our relationship with him and seeking first his kingdom and righteousness and loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul and strength, and if we're committed to loving one another as Christ loved us and serving one another and committed to what God wants to do in this house, if we can do those things, I believe that what we have seen and some of the things that we've started this year are just scratching the surface of what's possible. I'm so excited for us as a church because I know that even if we here in this room are mobilized in our areas of gifting and talent, that the difference that we as a group of people can make to this community is massive. It is truly massive. And I know that the challenge is, people hold back from stepping into commitment because of either fear or doubt or just, issues and challenges. And as we always say, there are people in the room that you just need to sit. Like we've said this morning, Mike and Holly, after years and years of service, they just need to sit for a change. And we get that, and we want this to be a place of healing and a safe place where you can just take off the mask and you don't have to worry about trying to present the thin veneer of everything's A-OK. If you're looking for a place like that, this is not it. Because I'm not like that. And we don't want a church like that. We want people to just be able to be honest and raw. And it's messy. If you think about the New Testament church, we read the completed story. But if you were reading the book of Acts, chapter 1, chapter 2, and stop in chapter 3 and put yourself in the position before you read 4 through to 27, chapter 27, 28. If you stop at chapter 3 or 4 and go, wonder what it was like, it would have been messy. It would have been people trying to work out how does this church thing work and how do we be real followers of Jesus and how do the Jews interact with the Gentiles and the Jews still think they're not supposed to eat that but the Gentiles are eating that stuff and there's these arguments between. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't all neat and it wasn't all nice. It was life. It was messy and life is messy. I mean, it's the reality of it. And I don't think we should pretend that it is all nice and neat or get upset or frustrated if life isn't all nice and neat because that's just not life. And so next year, I've been challenged to make some statements this morning about the kind of year I believe we as a church need to be believing for. So if you've got your Bibles, could you please turn to Romans chapter 4? Romans chapter 4 is a covering of and a little bit of a reflection on the life of Abraham. He's one of my heroes of faith. And if you were here just before I went away, just preaching a message about Abraham having to be asked by God to sacrifice his son Isaac, his one and only son. And Abraham's faith in the midst of such a challenge is just so challenging in and of itself and inspiring. And we see here there are some great pointers out of the life of Abraham that we can take as a challenge. But I want to speak into the life of the church this morning. And we're just going to start in chapter 4, verse 16. Are we there? Here we go. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. Let's not forget the word of God is based on promise. It's not about rules and regulations. It's based on promise. Genesis chapter 12, you can read that for yourself. Relationship with mankind is about promise. So that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. I love that about our God. I love it that God sees you not just the way you are, but the way that you can be. That God doesn't want to leave you the way you are. Now, I'm not picking on you, I'm not being critical, but as I said before, we've all got areas of our life that can be honed and refined, and God's plan and purpose for our life is good. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. The disciples signed up to follow Jesus Christ, and how many of them were martyred? Let's sign up for that. You know, so we're not called to an easy life. We're not called to be a subculture. We're called to be countercultural. With motivated and trying to see the revolution of love and lives transformed, because love conquers all, love covers a multitude of sin, love casts out all fear, love wins, and love will win. And we see here this idea that God doesn't just see us the way we are, but he sees us as we can be. And I love that about our God. And so God, like for me, it's about not just speaking things as they are, but by faith speaking things as they will be. And it's about the profession of our faith, the power of our words, that series that we did about the power of the words that we can speak. We can speak words of death or we can speak words of life. We can be creative with our words or we can be destructive with our words. So we can begin to speak out what kind of year 2014 will be, regardless of what we've been through in 2013. But it's up to us to activate our faith as to how we're going to do that. And so we see here, God is into seeing things and us to speak out things that are not as if they were. Verse 18, against all hope. Anyone ever felt like that? This situation's hopeless. There is no way this is going to happen. It's too big. It's too hard. I can't or I won't. I can't got beaten in the battle of try. There's a dad comment for you right there. You think I've ever said that to my kids? Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And right there, I think, is our verses for 2014, is that we are called to be a people who are fully persuaded that he who promised is faithful. And for some of you in the room, there are promises that you have lost hope in and you've lost faith in. And like Abraham, nearly 100, but yet he's told he's going to be the father of many nations. He's got to have an heir. He's got to have a descendant. But he did not waver through unbelief, but he was fully persuaded that he who promised was faithful. And for some of us in this room where maybe the whole God thing is quite new, you're starting to experience and understand and maybe read some of the promises that God has for your life. And I'm excited because I believe in 2014 that God is wanting to speak more promises into your life, reveal more of his purposes for your life, so you've got something to hold on to. And I think it's like, you know, well, what am I supposed to hold on to? Well, God's word is filled with promises that we can hold on to. But I believe that God is also wanting to reveal personal promises that you can actually hold on to in the area of relationships, in the area of your business, in the area of your health, in the area of your desires and dreams and ambitions that are in your heart that he wants to put in there and ignite, and then he actually wants to grant them to you. So he wants to give you the desires of your heart. So he wants to put them there, he wants to give them to you, but then he also wants to actually give them to you. Does that make sense? And so I love this, that we are fully persuaded. So Compass Church, next year, we're going to be fully persuaded. We're not going to be overwhelmed by doubt or fear. The thing that I love about this is that we have a choice to live in fear and doubt, or we get to the choice to live in faith and grace. That's our choice. That's what God presents before us. We're presented with life or death. We're presented with blessing or we're presented with cursing. It's our choice that he gives to us. And we can choose to live in faith and grace, or we choose to live in fear and doubt. Abraham's model to us here is that he was not going to be swayed by unbelief or doubt, but he held on to the promise against all hope. Now, let's try to put ourselves in Abraham's position. He's been promised this thing that he's going to have a son, but he's 100. It looks hopeless. And for some of us in the room, things look hopeless. But he who promised is faithful. And it's about holding on just in an unswerving. And this whole idea about holding on and being fully persuaded comes from an analogy of a boat that's coming into harbor in full sail. It's not a boat that's coming into harbour with just one little sail up and it's just limping into port. But this is about a ship that's coming in that's full harbour with the spinnaker up and it's in full flight, full sail. There is just something beautiful and big and strong about a tall ship that's flying at full mast and its sails are full and it's just going full steam ahead. And it's that kind of confidence and strength that I believe God calls us to be. And the great thing is that I don't always feel like that. I don't always feel like I'm fully persuaded. But that's why I need other people around me. That's why I need this guy over here and I need that guy down there to actually just go, come on, Phil, we can do this. Come on, let's not give up on this. Let's not give up on the dream. Let's not give up on the promise that God has said that he's planted us in the city of Glen Ira, the city of Melbourne, to make a significant impact on this community, on this nation and the nations of the world. Let's not give up on that. Let's hold on. Let's keep fighting for that. Let's keep going hard for it. Let's keep believing and not doubting. God is able. And that's why we need one another in that. And I don't think that God calls any of us to be in isolation or alone. But next year, I'm believing that for us as a church, that we will not stagger through unbelief, but we will be strong in our faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. Fully convinced. We should like have t-shirts, FPFC. Some people might think it's like football club, FP football club. Fully persuaded, fully convinced. Anyway, we digress. What he has promised, that he is able to perform. So, what are the promises in your heart? Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads. I just pray right now, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, that people in this room have once dreamed. People in this room once dared to dream and gave themselves permission to dream. But Father, they've given up on the dream or forgotten about the dream. But Lord God, this morning I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit, you bring that dream back to their remembrance. You bring back those promises, you bring back those words, you bring back those desires that were from you in the first place and for you. Lord God, that maybe haven't come to pass, but we would be a people of faith, that we would not doubt, that we would be fully persuaded. I just thank you, Lord God, that you are not the God who wants to play games with our lives, that your timing is perfect, that you have begun a good work, you will bring it to completion. Father, you've called this your church, Compass Church, to be a people of great faith, people who are fully persuaded that God, you're able. Even though it looks hopeless, even though it looks impossible, God, you are able. And I speak that out this morning, and I tear down any negative thoughts, Lord God, that have come. I stand against the circumstance and situations, Heavenly Father, of whether it's people or just circumstance that has come to rob people of their dream and of those desires and those goals, Father God, that you've planted in their heart. That this morning there will be a stirring of you, Holy Spirit, of people's dreams and desires. That 2014, Father God, will be such an exceptional year. That, Lord God, as we leave 2013 behind, that we'd step into 2014 fully persuaded, fully convinced that, God, the promises you have for us as individuals, the promises you have for us as families, the promises you have for us as a church, that you are fully able to see those things come to pass. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for people in this room that, Lord God, they may sit here just going, well, I don't have any promises to hold on to. I thank you that you are a good God. And even in a moment like this, that, Lord God, you can just begin to whisper. You can begin to speak. That, Holy Spirit, you just begin to stir something in people's hearts and spirits and minds. I even pray, Father, as eyes are closed, you just begin to show pictures in this place. For those that are visual, Father God, in this room, that they would just begin to see even a glimpse, a picture of what the future holds. For people, those that are more word-based, that you just drop a scripture in their heart right now. Just drop a word, a sentence. It may sound ridiculous. It may sound like that could never happen, but God, nothing's impossible for you. I just pray this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit in this place that, Lord God, you would activate people's ability just to dream, just think beyond, to look towards, Father God, what you have in store, that which is not as if it were. Just do something unique, I pray, as we're open to you. We just want you glorified. We want you honored. It's not about us. It's all about you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning as we close, Lord God, we just thank you that you have not finished with us or Compass Church. We just thank you that, Lord God, your plan for 2014 for Compass is that you desire that we impact more people's lives with meals and with clothing, with love and support, with care, with educational opportunities, with opportunities to hear the gospel, with opportunities to pray, with opportunities to worship, with opportunities to engage in a community of real people just designed to do this journey through life with you at the center of it all, Jesus. An opportunity to impact more students through the schools tour than we ever have before. Lord God, to impact more families and elderly from the oldest to the youngest. Lord God, to impact more uni students than we ever have before. Lord God, you desire for our life groups to flourish and go. You desire, Father God, that each and every man, woman, and child that attends Compass Church to grow in you in 2014, to become more like Jesus, to become more passionate lovers and followers of Jesus Christ than ever before. That, Lord Jesus, we'd love you and serve you and long to bring you praise in all that we do. Father, I thank you that you're not done with us yet. I thank you that our most dynamic worship times are yet to happen. I thank you that our most supernatural prayer times and services are yet to happen. And Lord, we'll start to see that in 2014 like never before. Just thank you, God, you desire to pour out your healing power through this place, that we will see miracles and signs and wonders in 2014 that will blow us all away. I just thank you that what we will see and experience in 2014 will surpass even our greatest expectations. Because, Lord God, I pray all of these things because I believe they line up with your word. So I'm not just praying kind of a self-confident prayer. I'm praying according to your word and purpose. That this is what you desire for your church. This is you desire that your church would flourish, your church would grow, that your church would just be built upon you, the solid rock on which we stand. God, we just thank you for 2013, for all the good, the bad, the ugly. But God, we're excited about 2014. I pray that no matter where we find ourselves, Lord, that if Compass Church isn't our home, that we would find somewhere that we could get planted and committed to and grow and serve you. So, Father, I just pray your blessing upon your people here this morning. Make your face to shine upon us, Father. Lord God, may each of us go in peace, in strength, and in joy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.